You're listening to All Action Sports Radio.
This is the Dingo.
Justin Barsha.
Gus Kenworthy.
Kristen Moore.
Paul Rodriguez, a.k.a. P-Rod. And you are listening to All Action Sports Radio. Peace.
All right. Here we go again. All Action Sports Radio this week. We're doing it again. We got a really, really kick butt show. I can't tell you how proud I am of our staff here at All Action Sports Radio. Each and every week, we just keep doing it and doing it and doing it again. This week, we have the one and only, the incomparable David Wise. That's right. Gold medal winning skier David Wise is coming on All Action Sports Radio. And I want to give a big shout out and thanks to his staff, his people around him. He is just like all over the place, and he's taking the time out to meet with All Action Sports Radio before his big debut on the Ellen Show. So I want to give a big shout out to David Wise and his people coming up a little later in our show. And, man, we've been talking about this for a long time. We had Richard Yellen, the director of Sine Qua Non, the psychology of big wave surfing. And now we have the surfer that was featured in that, Greg Long, the incomparable big wave surfer, Greg Long, who will be on All Action Sports Radio. It's one of those things where you just have to read what he wrote in Surfline to really understand what he went through, and to watch this documentary is just breathtaking, and I recommend it to a lot of people. We also have Jason Weingand from RaceRex Online. The East Coast swing of Supercross is in full effect, and I called it last week. Ken Roczen was the winner in Atlanta, and now we're going to Indy. Hallowed ground, Indy. And I'm looking forward to talking to Jason Weingand about that. But I want to go back to Greg Long. You know, he said something that was pretty moving to me that I read. He didn't maybe he said it, but I read it. He said, when I talk to different surfers about what they do and how they do, especially the big wave surfers, you get different quotes. I think this one that he wrote encapsulates that feeling of a big wave surfer. He said, when you're dropping in, you're literally looking over the edge of a 40 to 50 foot drop off in a way. A cliff face. You get to your feet, and it's that weightlessness feeling of a free fall. That kind of sums it up for me, because if you think about it, you're on a cliff face, and you're looking down, yet he has to surf his way to safety, and you're looking at 40, 50, 100 feet, and the psychology of surfing. I can't wait to talk to Greg Long about that moment. And when he talks about how he had that life-death experience at Cortez Banks, he said, I was prepared for that moment. He was prepared for that moment when he faced death, and he did all the right things, and that's how he survived. And I can't wait till he tells that story, because it's absolutely incredible, knowing what to do in that moment when you're actually facing death, and to be so calm and to know exactly what you have to do in that moment to save your life. It's just an incredible story, and I'm looking forward to talking to Greg Long. We also have our song of the week here at All Action Sports Radio. It's Two Bottle Jump. Is this what they mean? This hasn't even broke yet. This song is like a demo. It's been these guys are from the UK. It's been flying around, and our crack staff here at All Action Sports Radio have gotten it for you for our song of the week. Two Bottle Jump. Is this what they mean? I mean, we keep doing it. Our music is killer. I think we're going to start a page on our website where you can check out our music, and because we got a lot of indie bands, a lot of eclectic stuff. If you know anything and want to pass it on to us here at All Action Sports Radio, you can reach out to us at gmail@allactionsportsradio.com. All right, coming up, we have Jason Weingand from RacerX Online now here on All Action Sports Radio. And we're on the line with Jason Weingand, RacerX Online editor. He also hosts a TV broadcast of Lucas Oil AMA Motocross and the GNCC Series. And he is here now on All Action Sports Radio talking about the East Coast swings of Supercross. Jason, welcome to All Action Sports Radio.
Pumped to be here, as always.
As always. Hey, and I want to give our listeners a big shout out that the Grand National Cross Country Series that you announced kicks off next weekend, right, on March 8th?
Yeah, well done. That's all part of the Daytona Bike Week scene. So folks, if you're down there, go to Supercross on Saturday, and then about half hour away is GNCC in the woods on Sunday.
Sunday, that's right, March 9th. And the pro bike race begins at 1 p.m., right?
That's right, 3 hours, and you're going to see these dudes are going to be spent. It's going to look like the finish line of the Ironman triathlon when this thing's over. It's gnarly.
And you're calling it, so it's got to be good. All right, Jason, I hate to say it, but I called it last week. Well, I don't hate to say it. Ken Roczen, I had a feeling that he was going to be the man, and he was.
You don't hate to say it, do you? Yeah, he was, man, and that's as impressive as they come. He had to get around none other than Ryan Villopoto to win the race, and he did it. He's not riding at all like a 19-year-old rookie, is he?
No, not at all. You know, the thing is, again, I said it before last week, and I'm saying it again, James Stewart, head-to-head, Ken Roczen, head-to-head. We talked about Ryan Villopoto, the chink in his armor, and these guys are beating him head-to-head. I mean, Ryan Villopoto kind of blamed it on his bike last week, right?
Yeah, well, he's not making excuses. I mean, he's not one. If he gets beat, he'll just say that he got beat. You know what I mean? It's not like he's going out there saying, no, it's only because of this, it's only because of that. You know, people are going to ask him after the race what happened. He's going to say something. But I don't feel like he's making excuses. He just knows these guys are good, and he's the points leader. And honestly, he looked pretty happy after this one. That was a real threat from Stewart, and he just avoided it big time because Stewart had a crash.
Yeah, he sure did. We talked about Chad Reed last week, but didn't get to the press release about his replacement, Dean Wilson. For me, why would he get somebody who really isn't experienced in 450 rather than getting a more experienced rider?
Well, first of all, if that rider existed, maybe that's what he would do, but it's hard to just find somebody like that. Second of all, Chad has had a plan to have a young up-and-comer come through his team and kind of take his place when he's done at some point. And Dean's been on that radar for a long time. Chad has said over and over he doesn't want to get like a guy that gets 10th or 15th. He wants the kind of talent that can get podiums. Dean could be that somewhere down the road, but he's getting started early.
So this is the full-on mentoring program for Dean Wilson with Chad Reed.
Oh, yeah, and this has been rumored for years. I mean, 2010, Dean Wilson was spending time at Chad Reed's house, and ever since 2011 on then, he's been rumored to team up with him. This could be the look of the future. So we'll get a couple of weeks at it now, and I wouldn't be surprised if this looks like this all the time soon.
So in your professional opinion, Jason, which carries a lot of weight, good choice? Best choice for 2-2 Motorsports?
Yeah, absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. Because when you get somebody that's that talented, there's upside, as I like to call it, right? It's NFL combine time.
Mm-hmm.
There is a chance that Dean could do really well. If you get one of those experienced 450 guys, like you say, I mean, honestly, anyone that's a top 10 guy is locked up. So you know at best you're going to get a guy who probably is going to get the top 10. There's a chance that Dean's going to do really well. And if he doesn't do well, well, whatever. It's the first time riding a 450, so no one's going to really bag on the team for that. So basically, it's very little risk with a big possibility of a reward.
And he probably doesn't have to pay him much.
No, that's not really what he's looking for at all. I mean, he's just getting a bonus to be able to ride a couple of races, which I think he really wants to do. So you give him a bike, he probably didn't need any payment at all.
All right, let's switch gears, so to speak, and talk about Mike Alesi. You know, he's not having the banner year that we all thought he would. Now he's fined and put on probation. You know, I watched that video over and over.
Yeah.
It looks to me like either he was texting or he fell asleep. Right?
Hey, you know, I give you credit, Wes. There were about 100 jokes on Twitter within 5 minutes, but no one had that one. Good one.
That's what it looks like. I mean, it's so bizarre. I guess, doesn't it seem bizarre?
Oh, absolutely. And it's a heat race, and it comes out of nowhere. I mean, the Alessis have had some crazy drama and run-ins, but they're always different. It's not like Mike has this headhunter reputation where he's taken out hundreds of dudes through the years. Why this happened and why he did it, I really have no idea, but you can watch it all the times you want. It's pretty obvious it's intentional. So something snapped or something motivated him to do this. I was as confused as anyone. It came out of nowhere.
And even Pink got involved. You know, she was Twittering
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
That's how big Alessi's gotten.
What happens with the Alessis, man? These things they do are so nuts that they end up being really higher profile than even the guy that wins the race. I mean, if you remember last summer, we had the situation with his brother pointing the green laser light in Ryan Villopoto's eyes. That was a way bigger deal than whoever the heck won that race. I don't even remember who won.
You're exactly right. And, you know, how does that affect the rider going forward? You're on probation. You have to ride with caution. He has to be more timid. He can't be strategic in tight races and go for it. He kind of blew his season, right?
I think it would affect almost any other rider, but not Mike. I don't know what their deal is, man. They just operate on a different plane, a different mindset. I don't even think he thinks he did anything wrong.
No,
they don't seem to be affected by this at all. I don't know what their thought process is, but very rarely do they agree with the majority.
Yeah, he even said, it was just a racing incident, no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. How could you possibly say that? Where is your mind when you're saying things like that? So I don't think he's going to this race or any other worried at all. He doesn't even think he did anything wrong.
Wow. That and more coming up after this break with Jason Weingand from RacerX Online. Stand by.
I support the death penalty.
We will be prosperous if we embrace free trade.
Prosperity from free and fair trade.
All right, we're back here at All Action Sports Radio with RacerX Online Editor, Jason Weingand. Hey, Jason, we were talking about Mike Alesi and how those guys are shaping up the... wait, not shaping up, but... what's the word? Shaping...
Not shaping up.
rocking. There you go. Rocking the motocross world with their antics. Yeah. One person who's kind of slid back, who was rocking the world with his antics, was Dungy. I think he kind of slid back into old Dungy mode, don't you think?
I think you hit the nail on the head. We had a couple races of angry Dunge, we were calling it. But the results weren't good, man. He was doing what everyone has asked him to do, move people, push people around, get aggressive. But he had crashes and bad results each time. I mean, it's very easy to say, just hang it out and take more risks, but also don't crash. Very easy to say, a lot harder to do. It sure looks to me like, yeah, we're back to the same old taking what he can get, Ryan Dungy, which is a third, which isn't bad, but of course, wins would be nice, so this is the dilemma all the time.
Hey, podium. That's what he wanted, and that's what he got. I think we're going to see a lot more of this old Dungy going forward. Hey, Indy, this is the crown jewel. How do you see it?
Yeah, riders really like Indy nowadays because the crowd's really big. This is obviously a really cool stadium. It's only been around a few years. But the dirt is probably going to be the best we've had this year so far. They used to look forward to going to Atlanta. They've somehow turned the tacky, sticky, red Georgia clay into something slippery. But the Indy dirt is really good, and it has been the house of Ryan Villopoto the last few years. He's really excelled at Indy. So if he doesn't win this one, I think that really means something. You know, three in a row, not winning, that's one thing, but four in a row at a track he's usually good on, that's going to be significant.
See, and that's my first thought process, but you know what? I'm calling out JS, James Stewart. I think he rises to this big occasion, and I believe he wants to tie that record, and I think this is a moment that he's going to not want to see fade away, and I think he's going to push for it really, really hard. I would normally go for Ryan Villopoto after three wins, but I think the way he's lost going straight up with these other guys, I think James Stewart is really going to push to get that win in front of a big crowd.
And he has to. He had all the momentum. If he had won that main event in Atlanta, he wouldn't be the points leader, but I think everyone would know he's the guy right now in the series, and he blew it with that crash. He's got to get it back now, or it's going to be too late. So, yeah, I'd say Indy and Daytona, these next two races, Stewart must respond.
I'm with you 100%. Jason Weingand, I'm out of time, but I'm never out of favor with RacerX Online. That's my new tagline. All right, I'll see you on Twitter, and we'll do the race back and forth all the way.
I appreciate it, man, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, next week. All right, coming up, Mr. David Wise on All Action Sports Radio. And welcome back to All Action Sports Radio. you know what? Listen, I got thrown for just a minute. I was thinking about David Wise. He's on the line right now. And, hey, David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You caught me in a little bit of football. I was, like, reading your credits and stuff like that, and they pointing to me, and I missed my cue because I was just, like, overwhelmed for you by the success that you've had in such a short time at 23 years of age.
Oh, man, yeah, it's been crazy. I don't even know if I can believe it's actually happening myself.
I mean, you're the three-time gold medalist in the X Games. You are like a trivia question. You will live forever in the annals of skiing as the first ever gold medal in Olympic skiing halfpipe. How cool is that?
Oh, man, it's crazy. Yeah, it's like, you know, you set goals, of course, and you shoot for the stars, but every once in a while you actually hit what you're aiming for, and it's insane, you know? Like, for me, it was a challenge to myself. Like, I love skiing. Skiing, in a sense, made me who I am. So when we got into the Olympics, I was kind of like, you know, I want to be the guy who is there representing the sport. Like, I feel like, you know, I want to go put on a show for the world and show people what I think skiing should look like. And so to be the guy who gets to represent the sport as the first ever gold medalist is amazing. It's a huge honor and something I'm honestly pretty stoked about.
And we're stoked for you. Hey, David, have you taken the time to Google yourself?
I haven't, no.
Do it, man. You are everywhere. I mean, there are articles after articles, your family, your grandmother. I think she's a rock star right now.
Nice.
I mean, she's getting so much pub. Now, is it true you're sponsored by Pampers?
It is true, yep.
Do we owe that to Nayeli?
I sure hope so, because if I was the one needing them, that would probably be a bad thing.
You are so true, so true. Now, you have a contest going on with Pampers, right?
Yeah, it's called the Game Face Sweepstakes, so you can post your kid's best game face up, and then you win a photo shoot with me. There's a couple other cool prizes, but it's just, you know, some little cute something that they're doing on their Facebook page.
Now, I'm going to step out on a limb and say you're probably the first skier to be sponsored by Pampers, right?
I think that's definitely possible. I'm not totally sure, but I would say I'm definitely the first, maybe the first dad to be sponsored by Pampers. The first, like, you know, action sports dad.
And you know, which is kind of cool because, you know, when you look at who you are, the media tries to peg you. They try to put you in a slot. And what they've done to Sage Katzenberg is, like, they try to make him the Spicoli of snowboarding. Have you noticed how they take what he says and they kind of spin it around and make him seem like some flighty snowboard dude? But you, they're going like, oh, he's stand up and he's a Christian and he's married and has a kid. He's too proper to be a renegade skier. And I think that's so foolish. You know, you represent all the good things that we want our athletes to be. You do all the things that we want our kids to do. And for people to take shots at you like you're too good or you're too goody two-shoes just pisses me off a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny that people, I don't know. I mean, I think people are just afraid of difference. You know, it's like whether it's good or not, if it's different, people are intimidated by it, you know, like, oh, well, I don't know what box do we put this guy in, you know?
But, David, you're not that different. I used to make ski films. I traveled the country, the world with skiers. You're more like the guys that I filmed than not. There was always a knucklehead. There's always a knucklehead, you know, but you are the guy that I spent more time with. You know, other than these guys that the media want you to be, you know, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. I may be different from, you know, the young mold of a skier, but I'm no different from, a million skiers before me. I agree.
No, you are different. You're swinging a gold medal in a half pipe. You're the standard, brother. You're the standard. Now you got to go to Disneyland. Dreams do come true. What was better? Disneyland or Sochi?
Well, you know, it's two different dreams because, you know, Sochi is a huge thing, a huge accomplishment in my skiing career, but, being able to spend the whole day with my family, and we got like VIP access, man. We didn't wait any lines. We were taken care of. So I got to take my little girl and she got to meet Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and just have the time of her life. So, that's the fulfillment of another dream. You know, I was like kind of looking at my wife yesterday and it's like, it's kind of funny that this is the way I'm spending my day after all this media madness and finishing the Olympics and coming home. Like, I'm spending the day at Disneyland with my family, but I wouldn't rather do anything else. You know, it was a good time for sure.
Now that is phenomenal. Now, your wife, was it her idea to put the photo of Nayeli on those sticks and wave them around? Whose idea
was that? That was her idea, yeah.
Fantastic. What a good woman.
I know, yeah. She's a winner, man. There's a reason I got married young, and it's not because I was looking to. It's just because I found the best girl in the world, and I wanted to lock her down before somebody else did.
Well, Alexander, from all of us here, you did good, kid. You did real good. You did real good. Hey, we're coming up on our break, and we have more to talk about with David Weiss, Olympic gold medal winner in a half pipe. We're going to talk about the conditions. We're going to talk about your future, because we talked last on the show, and something very, very cool happened for you, and we talked about it previously on All Action Sports Radio when you were here before you went to Sochi. But we'll talk about that and more with David Weiss here on All Action Sports Radio. We'll be back. Started out fast and ended so quick. For weeks on end, I was so sick. So the next time I start to reminisce, remind me to remember to forget. I quit you. You can't quit me. I was the one that set you free. Oh, I see. You got somebody new. Then he was in his bad hands. Does he really sound? Screw the pies and screw down Hegel. Like a cat from Japan. He could look on by smiling. All right, we're back here at All Access Sports Radio. We are on the line with the Olympic gold medal winner in the half pipe for skiing, Mr. David Weiss, who hails from Reno, Nevada. Hey, David, you know, years ago when Johnny Mosley won his gold medal and at the Olympics, they named a run for him up at Squaw Valley. Do you think they're going to do that for you at North Star?
Wow, that would be pretty amazing. I don't know.
I would hope that they would, you know, because I got to ride that with Johnny. You know, we all took a ride down, and it felt really, really cool. I mean, it was a very special moment because I don't think it really – I know he knew he won the gold, but it really sunk in when his friends got to ride down that run. You know, and we all looked back up and said, wow, that's your run. You know, that's yours.
Yeah.
Forever. So, man. I hope North Star does you right. And I know a few people up there, so maybe I'll push the pedal on that a little bit.
Throw in the word, man, for sure.
Now, we've had some Olympians on you know, over the weeks who've talked about the half pipe. Just how bad was it?
Oh, man, it's so funny because it's just like fate was not smiling upon the half pipe contest for us because the snowboarders had such a rough time with the shape of the half pipe and just getting, I mean, the conditions were really difficult for the guys building the pipe because it wasn't getting cold enough at night to really freeze and solidify. I mean, even if it did dip below freezing, it was like for like an hour at a time. So the pipe never froze solid like you kind of hope it will. So they were dealing so much with the conditions. And then once they got all those issues figured out by the time we were competing, the pipe shape was perfect. And then it dumped snow on us, like, you know, and there's nothing worse than a blizzard for a freaking for a pipe contest because speed is so much of what we do. You know, if you can't go fast, you can't. You can't do big tricks, and you can't go high. I mean, one of the more exciting things about half-pipe skiing, especially even in comparison to snowboarding, is that we, you know, the skiers just go big.
You boost, baby.
That's kind of our bread and butter. It's like we're gonna send it to the moon. So to not be able to do that was definitely a bummer. But I think in the end, all the riders up there, we all just looked at each other and we were like, "Hey, this is the Olympics, man. We're gonna go out and send it as hard as we can." And, you know, I was one of three guys who was doing both double corks. And that's pretty cool. You know, I mean, it wasn't the best contest we had all year, by a long shot, but considering the conditions, I feel like free skiing still represented itself pretty well.
Well, I also said that you got the edge when you boosted out of the pipe right away on your first run. You know, you got the amplitude, you got that air. And from your quote, you said, "This was run C or run C combined partly with run B. I was changing my run from moment to moment during practices just because the conditions were always changing." So I believe we did not see David Weiss's A game at the Olympics, right?
No, not at all, man. It's funny. Like all year this year, I was working towards this, you know, epic run that I wanted to throw. And I was holding a few things back, not showing them off because I wanted to have something new, something fresh at the Olympics. So yeah, you still haven't seen it yet. Maybe we'll see it X Games next year or something.
We will. Now, Now, David, we talked about whether Visa sponsored you, was sponsoring you last time you were on our show. And you said, man, I would welcome that. How cool would that be to have Morgan Freeman do a VO for me? And
yeah.
And then he did it. Morgan Freeman did it for you, right? You are now a Olympic VO commercial for Visa with Morgan Freeman doing your VO. Just how cool was that?
Oh, man, it was so funny because I had no idea they were doing that. They did that all behind my back. So when the first – I was one-fifth of another ad that they did. But it wasn't, like, about me, you know. It was like, about the team, like Team Visa. So – but I claimed it even then. I was like, yeah, I was a part of something that Morgan did the VO for. But then, like – then after the contest, Visa brought me into a room and showed me that ad where, like, you know, Morgan is saying my name. He's like, David, we always believed in you. And I just, man, I had tears in my eyes. That was just the coolest thing that has ever happened to me.
David Wise, Olympic gold medalist, will never get tired of saying it. David, thank you for being a part of our show. Good luck going forward in the future. And give your daughter and your wife a big hug from us here at All Action Sports Radio.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, David Wise, coming up, we have Greg Long, Big Wave Surfer, here on All Action Sports Radio. And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio. Want to give a big shout-out to WBRP 107.3 FM in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio. And don't forget, you can email it at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com and Twitter at allactionsport, no S. All right, this is a segment, our two-spin segment, our featured segment, and I am stoked because this is we had Richard Yellen on earlier in our show. Not today, but earlier, I think a month ago, we were talking about Sine Qua Non, the psychology of big wave surfing. And we've waited a few months, and now we have the man. Quicksilver Big Wave Invitational, the Maverick Surf Contest, the Red Bull Big Wave Africa, your 2013 Big Wave World Champion and Surfline Men's Performance Award, and National Geographic Adventure of the Year, Mr. Greg Long, Big Wave Surfer on All Action Sports Radio. Greg, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Are you somewhere close or are you in parts unknown?
I'm actually at home in San Clemente, California.
Sweet. Down the road.
Been a busy winter, but I've landed back here for a couple weeks in between 12.
And we have on the line Richard Yellen. He's the director of the documentary Sine Qua Non, The Psychology of Big Wave Surfing. Richard, how you doing?
Hi, Wes. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. Now, we've been trying to get Greg on. I mean, he's a globe-trotting man. We know what he does. He chases big waves. We wanted to bring Greg on to talk about more intimately about this film. Greg?
Yes.
You know, there's a lull that goes back and forth when you have two people. Greg, look, there's a trailer that's out for Sine Qua Non. And at the end of that trailer, your mom talks about you... it's kind of ironic, being safe. Does that get a lot of play from people when they see that?
Everyone has a chuckle at that at the end. And that's one of the most commonly asked questions that I get is like, you know, what does your mom actually think of you going out there and doing this? And how does she handle it? But the truth is, we spend so much time preparing physically and mentally that, you know, we're managing the risks that we take. So if you just went out there and you just, you know, jumped into a day when it was big, you know, and that was your first time ever doing it, you're probably going to get hurt or worse. But after years of training experience, you know, you learn how to actually ride waves and that it is, a feasible thing to actually do. So in a way, doing a risky endeavor in a non-risky way.
Now, there was a lot of, and for good reason, there was a lot of play, a lot of notoriety about your near-death experience at Cortez Banks. And you wrote about it in Surfing Magazine back in December of 2013, was just a few months ago. I read it, and then I read it again, and I read it again last night. And every time I read it, it's, you titled it Illumination, and that's how I feel every time I read it. And the thing that stuck out to me more than anything was how you said you were prepared for that moment. And I really took that to heart. How many people are prepared for that moment when you're facing death, and to face it so calmly that you knew exactly what to do to preserve your life?
I couldn't actually, you know, tell you. Everyone has a unique approach and how they ride big waves and how they go through life in general. You know, it's a unique perspective that everybody has, and you know, the way they do things, the way they react to things. And, you know, from my experience, I think that more often than not, people, when, you know, they're forced in those situations that really push them, you know, beyond their comfort zone or anything that they've done before, when they have no other choice, when it's your life that's on the line, you know, that survival instinct kicks in, and you, you know, instinctively, you know, fall in line with, you know, what you have to do in order to survive. I like to think that that's what happens more often than not. But at the same time, there are probably, you know, a lot of people who just panic and give up. But always knowing the potential consequences that you can, in fact, drown. And, you know, we've gone through a lot of physical training, you know, where we're holding our breath in water, you know, in safe circumstances in the pool with, you know, friends looking after us. You know, and getting to that point of blacking out, know what you're actually capable of, what it feels like. And again, that goes back into the whole manage the risks of what we do you know, while we're out there, that I knew exactly where I was in, you know, my body, and where I needed to be in my mind.
Greg, we're losing, you're going in and out. We're coming up on our break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Greg Long, Big Wave Surfer, and the film Sine Qua Non. And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio, and we're on the line with Big Wave Surfer Greg Long and with Richard Yellen, the director behind Sine Qua Non, The Psychology of Big Wave Surfing, which provided an intimate portrait of the mentality, risk, and lifestyle associated with pursuing monstrous waves around the planet through the eyes of the world's most decorated big wave surfer, Greg Long. I read that right off the copy. All right. Hey, Richard?
Yes.
The title of the documentary is Without Which There Is Nothing. What was the idea behind that title?
Well, okay, Sine Qua Non is a Latin phrase that comes from ancient Roman philosophy, and essentially it means, like, specifically translated, without which not. It's tied to this philosophical idea that without the big wave, there is no big wave surfer. Without the big wave surfer, there is no big wave. So essentially, you know, I think when you look at it, like, has anyone ever ridden a 100-foot wave? Well, it won't exist until someone rides it. So, you know, the idea without which not, without big wave surfing, there would be no Greg Long. Without Greg Long, there would be no big wave surfing, et cetera. So, you know, just a way, because we're trying to think of, like, well, in terms of the risks and sort of the mentality behind what they do and pushing the limits to such extremes, like an Everest explorer or an astronaut, what is it out there on that frontier? So we wanted to get inside Greg's mind a little bit and see what he was thinking and what those around him are thinking as well, as it relates to his pursuit of pushing the envelope and breaking new ground and paddling big wave surfing.
Now, Greg has been doing this since you were 15, and you have been, for more or less, a star in the world of big wave surfing and in the community of surfing since you were 19. What did you gather, you know, through this documentary, you know, now that he's 29, what were you, you know, through his family, through Greg, what were you able to figure out?
Well, I think that, for one, Greg's a well-spoken, so for one, he could tell that story really well, but also just in meeting his family and how close they are and how tight-knit they are and how they grew up with the ocean and how his dad was an ocean lifeguard and takes ocean safety very seriously. There's a certain amount of learning that's been passed down, a certain amount of preparation that comes from Greg's dad. And that I know with Greg's early missions that his dad was a big part of the planning and was involved in the missions and expeditions at the Cortez Bank at the very beginning. So I learned that, obviously I was an ocean lifeguard myself, and there's a great respect for the ocean and a great amount of learning to be done. And so, you see that passed on when you meet Greg's dad in the film and when we were able to talk to him, how much learning there is in respect for the ocean. And I think that tells you why Greg's so well-prepared and probably one of the most well-prepared the big wave surfers and is able to survive those kind of wipeouts. Hey, think Cortez out of Mavericks.
Hey, Greg, do you have any children?
Do I have children? No.
Now, which leads me to this next question. Greg, do you think you would do what you do if you had a son or a daughter?
I would. That's a really good question, and it's one that circulates the big wave world frequently. Those people who do have families and are, your priorities change without a doubt, and you have to consider, those other people in your life, as I do with my family, friends. But really what it comes down to, and everyone's answering, those who do have families and are deciding to quit, is that's what makes them feel alive. And if they're not, being true to themselves, then, they're going to kind of be living this half-life, and they're not able to give much to their family or to their children, if they're not fulfilled themselves. So that's what kind of, driving them to do it. And I couldn't actually answer that, if I would or if I wouldn't until that time comes, until, I'm truly forced to contemplate that question.
Well said, well said. I wasn't trying to put you on the spot. I know that as a father, I don't do the things that I used to do, because of that very reason. And I know that I have that fear, not of that wave or that mountain or whatever. It's just because, I now think about it where I didn't think about it before. So that's where I was going with that. Hey, Greg, Richard, in our last 30 seconds, what was the most telling thing that you found out about yourself when you finished the film?
For me, it would have really been, the questions where was I, am I really ready to, put it all out there? And if I were to lose my life in big ways, would I be okay with that? And the answer is yes.
And for me, I think, interestingly enough, my reaction is maybe I should be pushing myself a little bit harder to get every moment out of my life, because one of the key messages in the film, I think Greg's dad says it well, that every moment in life is a gift, so make sure you're living it to the fullest. And I think that's what I take away from this film and what inspires me about it.
All right. If you want to see the trailer for Sine Qua Non, you can check it out on our website and as well as our Facebook page. And if you want to purchase it, you can purchase it on iTunes and download it, right?
Yeah, that's right. iTunes, Sine Qua Non, SineQuanon, The Psychology of Big Wave Surfing with Greg Long on iTunes.
Great. Richard Yellen, director of Sine Qua Non, The Psychology of Big Wave Surfing, and Greg Long, the Big Wave Surfer, featured in his documentary. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio this week.
Thanks a lot, Wes.
All right, good luck going forward. All right, coming up, more here on All Action Sports Radio. And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio. Look, we ran out of time for our song of the week, Two Bottle Jump. Is this what they mean? You can find that on our website, allactionsportsradio.com, and our Facebook page at All Action Sports. I want to thank our guest this week. I want to thank Jason Weingat. Jason's not really a guest. He's just our guy. So thanks for being on the show this week, Jason Weingat. I want to thank big wave surfer Greg Long and the director of Sine Qua Non, The Psychology of Big Wave Surfing, Richard Yellen, for being on our show. And a big shout out to Mr. David Wise, Olympic gold medalist in the halfpipe skier, for being on All Action Sports Radio. I want to thank our crew, Soy Sauce Media, Pam, Scooter. You're doing great, man. And of course, the inspiration. And I can't leave without thanking you, the listener. Thank you for being a part of our show. Go have a killer week now. My big booty woman is hard to find.